You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
June is Bike Month, and in Vancouver, that means that if you ride your bike in the daytime, you have a good chance of encountering the Vancouver Police conducting their Bike Month activities. Lots of cyclists are surprised, and not a few are upset that this means getting a warning ticket for traffic infractions. Ever ride two abreast along a side street? That'll cost you $109. No bell? Ka-ching! Another $109. Lisa Slakoff is with the Vancouver Area Cycling Coalition. She's the Vancouver chair. The Cycling Coalition is a volunteer-run society which works to improve conditions for cycling in the Lower Mainland. And Lisa joins me this morning to talk about the police campaign and about making cycling safer. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Jane.
Now, the police are describing their campaign as a form of cyclist education.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this kind of education is helpful?
Personally, I don't. I think that there'd be a lot of other ways that we could be educating cyclists in a lot more positive way, encouraging kind of a way that would really be saying, we want you on the streets, and these are behaviors that we consider dangerous, this is why, and this is how we can help you to change those behaviors.
So what kind of message do you think that they're sending when they do this, and they've also had quite extensive media coverage for this campaign? What kind of message do you think goes out there?
Well, you know, as you were saying, it's sort of the irony of Bike Month when we're really trying to get people out and encourage people to cycle, and with the media campaign and the high-profile campaign that the Vancouver Police are doing, there have been a lot of people contacting us, and it's like, what do you mean I have to have a bell? I didn't know I had to have a bell, and I don't have a rear reflector, so I guess I can't go cycling. And there's a lot of concern. There has been real confusion over the message as well. There was a comment from somebody indicating that you had to have your butt on the seat at all times, which simply isn't always safe. And the actual message is you have to be astride your bike, you know, legs over the seat, but your bum doesn't have to stay on the seat the whole time. So there's been a lot of confusion and a lot of wariness and people saying, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to go out on my bike.
So does that mean I have to give up riding my bike side saddle then?
I know it looks really good, but it's probably not the safest.
Okay. Now, the Vancouver Sun reported on the story and managed to get, as you mentioned, quite a few things wrong, one of which was that you couldn't stand up on a bike, and then the other one that they said you couldn't ride with a cell phone. What do you make of that kind of coverage?
I just feel that it's really unfortunate. I don't think it's unusual, but I think that a lack of accuracy in reporting can lead to a lot of negative ramifications, which, of course, is a byproduct of this particular type of police campaign, I think, where it is quite sensational. The media jumps on it. You know, I think what's out there right now is a desire from the media to create this feeling of a real war going on between cyclists and motorists, and it's just not healthy out on the streets. I don't think it's necessary. And that's the kind of reporting that comes out of that sort of sensationalist mentality, I believe.
Now, there is a contentious issue that exists around stop signs. And the law says that you must stop, and the police are focusing on that. Mm-hmm. And yet almost all adult cyclists use a rolling stop, mm-hmm. almost treating it like a yield sign.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that issue should be handled?
I think that's a bit of a complicated one because, of course, it is a law to come to a complete stop at a stop sign. And the Vancouver Cycling Coalition offers courses to people 16 and over in cycling safety and cycling well on the streets. And one of the things that we advocate following, obviously, all the laws, and we teach people how they pertain to cyclists, the Motor Vehicle Act laws, because there are certain differences and mostly similarities between how a cyclist is going to handle the laws. So certainly right now you are legally expected to come to a full stop at a stop sign. What I don't think a lot of people understand is how completely different it is when you're on a bicycle and when you're in a vehicle and you're approaching a stop and coming to a stop and carrying on through the traffic. And as a result, we do have, there are places in the world where you have, it's legal to come to a rolling stop, because it's understood that for a cyclist it is a quite a different thing than for a motorist coming up to a stop sign. So that is something that I think, you know, we really need to be looking at in terms of creating the kind of cycling city that Mayor Robertson and his council wants to create. We may need to be lobbying to look at some of these laws. And by the same token, it's the job of the police force to enforce the laws, obviously. But clearly, when you're out on the street enforcing laws, there are certain ones that you choose to enforce over other ones. And so that's, I think, the other area that we need to be working with the police force, looking at which ones are important to enforce versus which ones aren't.
I understand there's actually something called an Idaho stop, that in the state of Idaho you can come to a rolling stop, and, and that they tried to also get this passed in Oregon, in Portland, recently.
Yes, that's exactly the case. And I do think, as I say, that, you know, it does seem to be working really well in certain jurisdictions, and I think that there's a real fear about it, a fear that, you know, oh, well, if we let these cyclists do this kind of thing, there's going to be mayhem on the streets. And probably some of that is around some of the more dangerous cycling behavior that you see on the streets, where people do become uncomfortable with what a cyclist might end up doing. But I think what we're talking about is educating not only the non-cycling public, but the cycling public as well. And my focus would always be on behavior that is dangerous, and really focusing on that to alter that behavior. And of course, when you're a motorist surrounded by tons of metal, you are by nature a heck of a lot more dangerous than any cyclist on a bicycle. I once had the unfortunate situation of running a child over on my bike. It was that classic scene where you're going along on a side street and the child runs out between two vehicles right in front of you. There's absolutely nothing you can do. If I'd been in a car, that child likely would have been dead. As it was, the child got up crying and went with his mother to his house. So it's quite a different thing in terms of endangering others to be on a bicycle than in a vehicle.
There's a lot of misunderstanding from a certain segment of car drivers who are appear to be, anyway, ignorant of the realities of cycling. What needs to happen to make those drivers act more safely around cyclists?
I think that there's a fair bit that could happen, and our the VACC and other groups are working to communicate with educating bodies to make sure that that when, you know, motorists or car drivers are getting their driving education, that there would be a component that would really also stress, you know, what is it like to be a cyclist. In different parts of the world, you've got a lot of that kind of thing happening, or if there's a problem, there's been some kind of an incident between a cyclist and a motorist that was largely due or wholly due to the motorist, you know, not following the rules according to how you need to behave around a cyclist, where they're actually instructed to take a class or something. So I do think that there's a fair bit that most car drivers need to understand about what it's like to be on a bicycle in traffic. And although we're supposed to be following the rules of the road, and a lot of us cyclists do, just how kind of different it is to be out there not encased in tons of metal.
Now, I'm a cyclist, so I have a distinct bias in this area, but I just find it a shame that the Vancouver Police Department wouldn't focus their Bike Month activities on educating drivers.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I think a lot of us in the cycling community are thinking. This is supposed to be a celebratory month, celebrating biking, encouraging biking in all ways. And, you know, that kind of an approach, looking at educating drivers, which any of us who do cycle on the streets for any amount of time realize really quickly that not only do a lot of motorists not understand how to safely drive around cyclists, but some motorists can get very aggressive and within the safety of their cars. We've all heard of road rage, and when that road rage is directed toward a cyclist on the road, that can be extremely scary.
Now, coincidentally, the coalition had written a letter which was sent to the police this week. What was in that letter?
That's a letter that actually has been a fair bit of time coming. It's sort of interesting that it's finally ready to come out just when all of this is happening. But it's over the years, of course, a lot of the members of the VACC and other cyclists will be, you know, talking about the issues around communicating with the VPD, whether it's reporting incidents and getting some kind of a response, whether it's trying to understand what the VPD is trying to do, but basically having some kind of a dialogue, some kind of a communication, and of course talking about some of the enforcement issues that we have concerns about, such as, for example, the warning tickets in Bike Month. And so we've been working on that letter basically since the fall. We've been getting the main issues that we feel are out there for cyclists with respect to enforcement and legal issues on the road and just some of their basic concerns, and sort of molded that into a letter. The main message in the letter, and it's directed to Chief Chu as well as Mayor Robertson, is that we'd like to sit down and talk. We'd like to get together and meet. We think that's the first step, that there needs to be better communication between the two groups. And from there, we would really like to see somebody or somebodies assigned to cycling in the city, an ongoing sort of dedicated position where a cyclist could know that they could turn to this person if there are problems, if there are typical problem areas on bike routes and so on. This is the person you call, this is the contact information, and this is the person that you can work with. And beyond that, we would like to start working on specific issues around what the police, for example, choose to enforce with respect to cyclists and so on.
Are you hoping for a meeting soon with the police?
I am hoping for a meeting soon. That would be wonderful. We think that that could just be so positive. We also know that this particular council is extremely keen. Well, I mean, in fact, the councils since 98, since they put in a particular biking strategy, have been very keen on encouraging cycling in the cities. But we're supposed to be up to a mode share in Vancouver of 10% by 2010. That was sort of the goal, and we're still hovering somewhere around 3-4%. We've got quite a long way to go. So this particular council, I think, is being fairly aggressive about really trying to encourage cycling. And of course, the reason for it isn't just to you know, have a few more cyclists on the street. The reason is that we are hitting total capacity with respect to being able to move motor vehicles around the city. And you know, we recognize the cost-saving benefits in having cyclists out there. So there's a multitude of reasons why it's beneficial for everybody to get more cyclists out there. And I'm really happy to say that this council seems to be working very aggressively in that direction. So seeing that, I think if we sat Mayor Robertson down with Chief Chu, there would be that added encouragement to sort of explain what it is that the city is trying to accomplish here and how the police force may be able to help make that happen.
I know that the city under the new council has just doubled its budget for cycling infrastructure for this year. And so what would be two of the key changes?
I would say that question is going to vary from person to person, but I think a lot of that money is supposed to be dedicated toward changes in bike routes. I think there's a lot of areas. I'd say education would be a fantastic area to invest in. I suspect a lot of that money will go into infrastructure, which is also fantastic because right now the city has been creating a lot of new routes, which is wonderful. Downtown, there's the last couple of years, a whole bunch of new routes have popped up. What we find is that a study out at UBC conducted by some professors and people out there has very conclusively shown that for the for the Lower Mainland area, if you really want to get the kind of mode share for cycling that we apparently want, we have to actually have separated bike routes. We have to have routes like they have in Europe and other places in the world where people really are separated from motor vehicle traffic and feel secure so that you can have children, older people, new cyclists out cycling. So I would hope that would be the long-term goal. That would be a huge number one for me. On the other hand, I think what we're talking about with a one-year doubling of the budget, we're looking at some really great things would be to just work on upgrading some of the major cycle routes, like 10th Avenue keeps coming up. It needs a lot of work to make it, the pavement and so on, and a lot more secure for cyclists going along it. And on pretty much every bike route in the city, people are talking about the issues around motor vehicle traffic, speeding, crowding people out, using the bike routes as an alternative to the main roads, and that's not what they're intended for. So actually getting the DPD out, enforcing the rules around the bike routes so that they become a safer place. That's one of the great things that council just voted in. I believe it's something like a 30-kilometer per hour speed limit on bike routes. Absolutely fantastic.
I heard that, and that is a very surprising new change to the city, that the drivers will not then be able to get the advantage of going along the bike routes to make time.
Exactly. And again, it's just a question, as we all know, with any of these laws, you have to have people out enforcing, the police out enforcing, in order to get the compliance with the behavior. So I'm really hoping that that's going to happen.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me this morning, Lisa.
It was my pleasure, Jane.
I've been speaking with Lisa Slakoff. She is the Vancouver chair of the Vancouver Area Cycling Coalition.